The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, 18 April 2019. Gee, what's coming up tomorrow, April 19th? Yeah. I should finish this article up here. By Arjun Walia, Collective Evolution. I recently came across an article published on Mint Press News. It was written by Whitney Webb, who is a staff writer for Mint Press News. It's contributed to several other independent alternative outlets. Her work has appeared on sites as Global Research, the Ron Paul Institute, and the 21st Century Wire, among others. She also makes guest appearances to discuss politics on radio and television. She currently lives with her family in southern Chile. In her article, she references a leaked military manual on unconventional warfare that was recently highlighted by, WikiLeaks. The U.S. Army states that major global financial institutions such as the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development are used as unconventional financial weapons in times of conflict up to and including large-scale general war, as well as in leveraging the policies and cooperations of state governments. The document, officially titled Field Manual 3-05-130 Army Special Operations Forces Unconventional Warfare, and originally written in September of 2008. Gee, what else happened in September of 2008? Remember? Was recently highlighted by WikiLeaks on Twitter in light of recent events in Venezuela, as well as the years-long U.S.-led economic siege of that country through sanctions and other means of economic warfare. Remember what Webster Tarpley said? You just demonize him. Though the document has generated new interest in recent days and had originally been released by WikiLeaks in December of 2008, and has been described as a military's regime change handbook. And this is the actual site on WikiLeaks. What's happening with Venezuela? WikiLeaks publication of U.S. coup manual FM3-05.130. Unconventional warfare provides insight. Now, WikiLeaks' recent tweets on the subject drew attention to a single section of the 248-page-long document titled Financial Instrument of U.S. National Power in Unconventional Warfare. This section in particular notes that the U.S. government applies unilateral and indirect financial power through persuasive influence to international and domestic financial institutions regarding availability and terms of loans, grants, or other financial assistance to foreign state and non-state actors, and specifically names the World Bank, the IMF, and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, as well as the Bank of International Settlements, as U.S. diplomatic financial venues to accomplish such goals. The manual also touts the state manipulation of tax and interest rates, along with other legal and bureaucratic measures to open, modify, or close financial flows. Now, let me stop and digress here. Do you think what happened to me personally back in November was an accident? James O'Keefe, the Veritas Project, he's been investigating this. They've been debanking people. If you are alt-right, if you're out there speaking the truth, if you got a website, guess what? If you had a bank account with Chase, you were canceled and you weren't given a reason why. And I'll get around to that this hour. U.S. diplomatic financial venues to accomplish such goals. State manipulation of tax and interest, along with other legal and bureaucratic measures to open, modify, or close financial flows. I'm not just talking about countries here, folks. We're talking about individuals. And further states that the U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, which oversees U.S. sanctions on other nations like Venezuela, has a long history of conducting economic warfare valuable to any ARSOF, that's Army Special Operation Forces, in unconventional warfare campaign. I'll ask the question again. Do you think Julian Assange is ever going to see the inside of a courtroom to be on trial? I saw the look on his face as he was being hauled out of the Ecuadorian. This section of the manual goes on to note that these financial weapons can be used by the U.S. military to create financial incentives or disincentives to persuade adversaries, allies, and surrogates to modify their behavior at their theater, strategic, operational, and tactical levels. What happened? What did the IMF do to the president of Ecuador? Oh, you didn't even request it, but guess what? We're going to help you out to the tune of $4.2 billion. On the same day that Julian Assange was hauled out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And these pompous asses like Mr. Pompeo, Mr. CIA himself, as Secretary of State. You know, I don't know if Trump is just in over his head, he's stupid, or they co-opt him. I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It is what it is. The role of these independent international financial institutions as extensions of U.S. imperial power is elaborated elsewhere in the manual, and several of these institutions are described in detail in the appendix to the manual titled The Financial Instrument of National Power. Notably, the World Bank and the IMF are listed as both financial instruments and diplomatic instruments of U.S. national power, as well as integral parts of what the manual calls the current global governance system. This is in a U.S. field manual, folks. Which WikiLeaks puts out back in 08. At the same time, we get hammered by the international bankster gangsters. And the day the curtain fell on the finances of the entire industrialized world. And then the looting began. And after they ran off with all the trillions of dollars, turned right around and had the respective governments going, oh, you got to ante up here. United States, you need to go in more debt to bail out those too big to fail, the very people that caused this in the first damn place. You don't tell me that's warfare. You don't tell me that's oppression. Tell me what it is. Please. Somebody want to take exception to what I'm saying? Please call in and argue with me. Please. Make it so convincing that you convince me that I'm wrong. But you won't, because you can't. Because it just ain't so. There's no argument against this. This is as plain as a nose on your face. Another point of interest is that these financial weapons are largely governed by the National Security Council, which is currently headed by whom? John Bolton. The document notes that the NSC has primary responsibility for the integration of economic and military instruments of national power abroad. Independent, but certainly controlled, through the Unconventional Warfare Manual is notable for stating so openly that independent financial institutions like the World Bank and the IMF are essentially extensions of the U.S. government power. Analysts have noted for decades that these institutions have consistently pushed U.S. geopolitical goals abroad. Indeed, the myth of the World Bank and the IMF, independence, is quickly eroded by merely looking at the structure and funding of each institution. In the case of the World Bank, the institution is located in Washington, and the organization's president has always been a U.S. citizen, chosen directly by the President of the United States. In the World Bank's entire history, the institution's Board of Governors has never rejected Washington's pick. You remember who Obama put in as Treasury Secretary? Yeah, the very same people that engineered the massive ripoff and the debt that this country faced. He was in there to make sure things went according to plan. This past Monday, it was reported that President Donald Trump nominated former Bear Stearns economist David Malpass to lead the World Bank. Malpass is famously failed to foresee the destruction of his former employer during the 2008 financial crisis and is likely to limit World Bank loans to China and to countries allied or allying with China, given his well-established reputation as a China hawk. In addition to choosing its president, the U.S. is also the bank's largest shareholder, making it the only member nation to have veto rights. Indeed, as leaked Unconventional Warfare Manual notes, as major decisions require 85% supermajority, the United States can block any major changes to World Bank policy or the services it offers. Furthermore, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs banker and foreclosing king, Steve Mnuchin, functions as the World Bank's governor. Through the IMS is different from the World Bank in several respects, such as its stated mission and focus, it too is largely dominated by U.S. government influence and funding. For instance, the IMF is based in Washington, and the U.S. is the company's largest shareholder. The largest by far, owning 17.4% of its institution, and also pays the largest quota for the institution's maintenance, paying $164 billion in IMF financial commitments annually. Though the U.S. does not choose the IMF's top executive, it uses its privileged position as the institution's largest funder to control IMF policy by threatening to withhold its IMF funding if the institution does not abide by Washington's demands. As a consequence of this lopsided influence, the U.S. on these institutions' behavior, these organizations have used their loans and grants to trap nations in debt and have imposed structural adjustment programs on these debt-saddled governments that result in mass privatization of states' assets. deregulation, austerity that routinely benefit foreign corporations over the local economies. Frequently, these very institutions, by pressuring countries to deregulate their financial sector and through corrupt dealings with state actors, bring about the very economic problems that they then swoop in to fix. Remember? The game was rigged. Well, let's let these Wall Street banks, let's let these commercial banks speculate in the markets. Well, they speculated all right. They knew exactly what they were doing. The mortgage-backed security scam, the debt that ensued and continues to this day that's destroying this economy right before your very eyes. And there's no alarm bells going off in Washington because Washington knows about it. They're in on it. Otherwise, you know, with all this massive debt, oh, you know, the debt's climbing, you know. Okay, well, maybe we should look at reductions in how we operate. Maybe we should shave some costs. Maybe we should reduce our exposure. That's what Donald Trump said during the election run. What the hell's happened? You see anybody coming out and claiming, okay, well, we're going to save $50 or $100 billion here or $100 billion. No. No. We'll turn around and give Israel $36 billion so they can launch a failed space mission to the moon, for God's sakes. Jim in New York. Hello, Jim.
Oh, hi, John. Well, first, I'd like anyone who's not suffering financially to contribute to RBN. I understand people are hurting and they don't have the money, but if you do have the money, contribute to RBN, because it's like the only thing we have left. You know, these other sites, Genesis, they're totally co-opted. They're been co-opted by the neocons. But RBN, although I disagree with some hosts, particularly Mr. Kelso.
I knew that was coming.
Overall, RBN is great hosts.
You know, I would like to get, Jim, I'd like to get Karen Kwiatkowski back on this network. I really would.
I'm familiar with her, but I don't remember her, but no, I love RBN.
Well,
contribute, and it's all we have left. GNC or GCN, all they go about is Sharia law. They obsess over that, and you know, the only place you can get remnants of the truth is RBN.
Well, and that's why we're here. That's why I made the comment that, you know, if you just want to look at it this way, that we're an overpriced security system that's going to work. When the power goes out or whatever the case may be, we'll be your canary in the coal mine. When we're gone, you better head for that broom closet and get out those weapons and count your ammunition and get ready, because it's coming. Unless, of course, people have been conditioned to not resist. And then we'll quietly go into the dustbin of history.
Yeah, we probably will, but we still hold on to the truth.
No. I don't think that's the case. I think people have got to make up their mind. If you have that thought in your mind, my friend, you're already beat before you start.
Yes, but I try to be realistic. I mean, most of the alt-right, they've fallen into the arms. Can you hold me over?
If you get any more morose on me, Jim, I'm going to die of a heart attack.
I won't.
Okay.
I won't.
All right. Okay, hold on. We'll take a break here. We'll be back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back. Jim, go ahead. In New York?
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have hope. And I don't discourage hope.
Okay, Jim, you have to speak up clearer into your phone. We're having a hell of a time trying to balance you out here.
I'm sorry. You know, it's nice to have hope. It's a good thing. But you also have to be realistic. And Trump... hey, you know, it was worth the roll of the dice to vote for him.
Jim, hold on a second. I don't think people are realizing what's happening with the political capital that this guy started. Because if Trump goes south on us, this is going to break the political will of people in this country. It's going to break them.
Well, but you have to recognize reality. And, it's good to have hope. I'm for hope.
Okay.
It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
But you have to be realistic. It seems that Mr. Trump is betraying us in every possible situation. Here's a quote from Carol Quigley. It only takes 20 seconds. He says, quote, "The argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies, one on the right and one left is a foolish idea, acceptable only to the doctrinaire and the academic thinkers. Instead, two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can, quote, throw the rascals out, quote, at any election without leading to any profound shifts in policy. So Trump is the hope and change on the right, just like Obama was the hope and change on the left.
Well, and I'll give you a classic example of that. Mitch McConnell, we can fix Obamacare. We can fix it. No, we can't fix it. Number one, the principle behind a national health care and charging everybody for it. You know, this is a $1 trillion industry, and they weren't going to leave go of it. Mitch McConnell is one of these deep-seated, slack-jawed, I don't know what you'd call this guy, but we have the neocons and the people that, in principle, they're all going to agree. And I see your point. Point well taken. I thank you for your call. We have time here. Yeah, Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John.
Hi.
You mentioned somebody's name just a little while ago, and I had to go in and take a squirt of Extendivite under my tongue.
Okay.
David Malpass?
Yeah.
Before I used to listen to RBN, I used to listen to all terrestrial radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been a guest for years on Larry Kudlow's show. They're practically paisans. Or maybe a launchman in that case.
And where's Larry Kudlow right now?
I think he's in the government, isn't he?
He's in the Trump cabinet, for God's sakes.
He's like the brain trust they used to bring on somewhere in the middle of the show.
And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it or not. If I did, excuse me, but if I didn't, here it is. Here's the guy that I just saw him on Fox Business Channel the other day, talking about returning to a gold standard, that he doesn't think, you know, at this point in time we need to do that, and he doesn't think that Donald Trump wants to do that either.
I'm surprised.
Why? Why should you be surprised?
I don't know. I'm like that sometime.
Anything else, Ken?
No, that's it.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Tom in Philly. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you about a little thing that happened to me yesterday. A few months ago, I had called a friend, you know, wanting to do some business with him, and found out that her husband had a heart attack. So I let it go, and I just texted her back yesterday, and I just sent her a quick text. I said, "Hey, how's your husband doing?" And she writes back, "Oh, doing great. You know, thank you very much." And I said, "Okay, well, that's good." I said, "How you doing? How's your computers? Everything working okay for you? I haven't heard from you." And then she goes into this thing in all caps. "Well, my husband saw your Trump sticker on my car, on your car, and he doesn't want you in our house or touching our computers or even in the neighborhood." And I said, "I don't have a Trump sticker on my car. Are you sure you got the right person?" And she said, "Well, it was Republican something or another." I said, "Oh, you mean the radio station? Oh, well, that's just to open your mind up to opportunities." So when everything happened this morning, I sent her a text. I said, maybe you better keep your husband away from the TV and the internet, because he might have a heart attack after he reads Barr's report. I haven't heard from her since. Can you believe that?
Well, you know, Tom, I'm telling you what, I got an indication politically, as I said, watching C-SPAN 3 today. A lot of people don't have one or two or even three, but covering the day's events in Washington, D.C., with the live phone calls going into C-SPAN, the Democrats were calling in going, "We've had enough of this crap. We've had enough."
Hey, you going to be around after the show?
Yeah, for a minute.
Right, well, I mean, you know, can I give you a call at home later?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Finishing up the story, given the close relationship between the U.S. government and these international financial institutions, it should come as little surprise that in Venezuela, the U.S.-backed interim president, Juan Guaido, has already requested IMF funds and thus IMF-controlled debt to fund his parallel government. Now, this is highly significant because it shows the top among Guaido's objectives, in addition to privatizing Venezuela's massive oil reserves, is to again shackle the country to the U.S.-controlled debt machine. As Gray Zone Project recently noted, Venezuela's previous elected socialist president, Hugo Chavez, remember the, oh, this guy, he's this, and they demonize, and, well, what he did was he broke ties with the IMF and the World Bank. which he noted were dominated by U.S. imperialism. Instead, Venezuela and other left-wing governments in Latin America worked together to co-found the Bank of the South as a counterbalance to the IMF and the World Bank. Where's Hugo when you need him? Oh, he's just a communist. Here you go. We need to sanction this country. What the hell threat was Venezuela to this country? The answer to that was as much of a threat as Iraq was, as much as a threat as Iran is to us, as much as a threat to Syria is to us. Here's the answer to that question. However, Venezuela is far from the only country in Latin America being targeted by these financial weapons masquerading as independent financial institutions. For instance, Ecuador, whose current president has sought to bring the country back into Washington's good graces, has gone so far as to conduct an audit of its asylum of journalist and WikiLeaks publisher Julian Assange in order to win a $10 billion bailout from the IMF. Oh, $10 billion? We were told it was 2.2. Oh, that's right. Well, when you're listening to government or their controlling entities, you can always safely times it by 2 or 3. It's about right. Ecuador granted Assange asylum in 2012, and the U.S. has fervently sought his extradition for still sealed charges ever since. In addition, last July, the U.S. threatened Ecuador with punishing trade measures if it introduced a measure at the U.N. to support breastfeeding over infant formula, in a move that stunned the international community but laid bare the willingness of the U.S. government to use economic weapons against Latin American nations. Beyond Ecuador, other recent targets of massive IMF and World Bank warfare include Argentina, which was awarded the largest IMF bailout loan in history just last year. That loan package was, unsurprisingly, heavily pushed by the U.S., according to a statement from the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, released last year. Notably, the IMF was instrumental in causing the complete collapse of the Argentina economy in 2001, sending a poor omen for last year's approval of the record loan package. Though it was released over a decade ago, this U.S. coup manual that I was speaking about, recently highlighted by WikiLeaks, serves as a salient reminder that the so-called independence of these financial institutions is an illusion and that they are among the many financial weapons regularly used by the U.S. government to bend countries to its will and even overthrow U.S. disfavored governments. And the vinyl was sucking up off the chairs in Washington, man. When Iran said, you know, we're not going to be converting stuff and taking dollars anymore. We'll sell our oil and we'll take in denominations of whatever we want. Oops, there went our dollar support, the oil propping up our bastardized dollar. And we've been on a sleigh ride downhill ever since, and it's going to get worse. Mike, what was that came in? Well, Jim in New York, the guy that was a little down today, I guess there is hope. $400? That's 100 shy of the 500 that the guy said if you will match $1,000 today. The guy that donated $500 yesterday, he'll up that to $1,000. That makes it halfway to our $4,000 goal so we can pay some bills to keep this network on the air. You know, I don't think people realized, because they're not seeing, they have no verifiers. They're not getting any pings back from the mainstream media. They're not getting any pings back from the White House. We're being told the economy is great. Hey, millions of jobs are going to come back to America. No, we're losing millions of jobs. Stores are shuttering. People's businesses have gone under. The mom-and-pop stores that used to earn their daily bread by peddling their wares or their services, they've been long gone. Now it's the bricks and mortars that are falling around, down around everybody's knees. Projected 27,000 stores? They project this is out by 2025. No, 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 no. No. And I'll wager a bet right now. I'll make a wagered bet right now. And I'm not a betting guy. I don't. I don't hang hopes here on something illusory. Or, you know, here's your proverbial carrot. Go ahead and try to bite it or grab that ring when you're going around on the merry-go-round. Grab that brass ring. Stretch. Reach for it. But I can almost guarantee you, if it looks like Trump is going to win in 2020, I think financially they'll pull the plug. I think they'll create economic chaos, and the whole damn thing will come tumbling down. And it ain't going to matter who's in the White House. Everybody's worried about some of these wingnut nut Democrats that want to get into the White House. Well, I got a question for you. How much further can they screw up things that aren't already screwed up? It's just a matter of more debt on top of debt we can't ever repay in the first damn place. And isn't that the goal that I had just talked about? The manipulation, the control? Telling you, Washington, D.C. and these politicians are nothing but the sock puppets, folks. The guys have been installed in the agencies, nothing but the sock puppets. The orders are not coming from a Donald Trump. They're not coming from a president of a country, this or any other. It's coming from the very people that control the game, the international chessboard. But you're not supposed to know that. But the one guy that was responsible for, the damage that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks has done to these criminals. And I hasten to even call them that because this is on a scale that you got to invent new words to try to describe what this is. The destruction of the individual, the destruction of economies of entire nations. Well, here's a little bright spot. Illinois Channel TV, and I want to thank the guy that I forget your name, but I saw this finally. It ended up in my junk mail. Okay, Ray, thank you. Thank you, Ray, for this. It ended up in my junk mail, and I just caught it by accident before I emptied out my junk email. That kind of like what happened in Arkansas and Oklahoma? Well, guess what? In Illinois, there's a little thing that took place. How many people would you say were there? Thousands. At least 7,000 people, Illinois gun owners to the legislature. And the anti-gunners didn't use this because they don't want to show you the resolve of people that understand that the only tools can be used against oppression are the weapons themselves. These are the weapons of peace, folks, not of war, but of peace, to keep the oppression from going, well, to its eventual end. From Illinois Channel TV, they said, please help support the Illinois Channel's independent coverage. We operate 100% on private donations, and it's the illinoischannel.givingfuel.co. The state capitol in Illinois on March 27th, a recent murder of an innocent individuals at a factory in Aurora has moved gun control to the top tier of legislative action at the state capitol. But at their annual Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day, they call that gold, Gun Owners Lobby Day, thousands of gun owners from across the state marched on the state capitol to make a clear message to lawmakers. They want those lawmakers who wish to continue to apply more laws, regulations, and fees on gun owners to understand they've had enough. A central theme of these at the march is the Second Amendment is the U.S. Constitution protecting the right to keep and bear arms is not an option to bear arms, it is a right to bear arms. Those in the march say lawmakers, especially those from Chicago, fail to understand the laws on guns will never reduce the crime they say they wish to eliminate, because criminals don't follow the law. So no matter the charges sought, they say guns don't stop violence. They also argue that the current gun laws are frequently not enforced, and they point to the example that the shooter in the killing in the Aurora business wasn't supposed to still have a gun, but the law on the books wasn't properly enforced. Mike, do me a favor, dial this up, Stossel slash panel, guns, whatever. See what pops up, because I watched a video. They had a panelist, the lady that was at Luby's had her parents murdered, and two other individuals were there. Can you find that real quick? Okay, I don't know. That's part. Maybe this is it. Fast forward it. There it is. Okay, back that up. Get rid of the crap in the front and play that clip. Go back. Go back further. Further. Go back toward the beginning, because the introduction isn't that long. No, I don't think that's it. Go forward. It showed the picture, I forget the woman's name, that she ran for the state legislature. There it is. Okay, back that up, find the beginning of that, and play that. This is John Stossel, but you don't hear this on Fox News anymore. That's because the kids took over from Daddy. Okay, go ahead and fire that up. Listen to this, folks.
When we hear about the murders and robberies, we don't often hear about the murders or robberies that are stopped because someone has a gun. Sometimes people just show a gun and the robber runs away. Mark Walters says he pulled a gun and a robber ran. Nikki Gozer says because she could not pull a gun, her husband was killed. Susanna Hupp says her parents were killed because of gun restrictions. So, Susanna, let me start with you. You and your parents went to a restaurant. What happened?
Well, at that time in the state of Texas, we weren't allowed to carry, and so many of us had our guns out in our car. A madman drove his truck through the window and very methodically began executing people. He had complete control over the situation, and the short version is that he killed 23 people, including my parents. And I was very angry because I didn't have the opportunity to at least change the odds.
And had you had your gun, you would have stopped him.
You know, you can argue that back and forth. As your other guest said, you can what if it to death. But the one thing I don't think anybody can argue with is that it would have changed the odds. Not one of these mass shootings has occurred in a place where guns was allowed. I mean, stop and think of that. I can't think of a single place where a mass shooting has occurred where guns were allowed. These people look for fish in a barrel. They look for easy targets and high body bag counts.
And at this restaurant, you weren't the only person who left her gun in the car.
Yes, sir. There were a number of people. My manager friend, a young woman that was killed, her gun was out in her car. A man whose wife was killed. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary, and when we had an opportunity to get out, my mom chose to stay with her mortally wounded husband, and so she was killed also.
And Susanna, you wrote a book about this.
Yes, sir. I wrote a book about that detailed the event, and it also, quite frankly, is intended to convert people who are maybe a little squishy about guns, because I'm not a hunter. I'm not into blasting Bambi, but...
Blasting Bambi. Your book title refers to the legislature. What happened?
We actually changed the law in Texas immediately before I got in, and we've made several improvements since then.
Nikki, what happened in your case?
My husband, Benjamin Gozer, was murdered right in front of me by a man who had been stalking me. I'm a right to carry permit holder in Tennessee.
You had a gun for your safety?
Yes, but because of Tennessee state law at the time, I had to leave my loaded, permitted, legal weapon locked in my vehicle that night.
The Tennessee law said you can't take it any place that serves alcohol.
That is correct. But the man that murdered my husband
brought one in, and he did not have a handgun carry permit. Criminals don't care about the law.
And had you had your gun, you think you would have been in a position to stop him?
I believe so. And like Susanna said, you know, at least we would have had a fighting chance at Ben's survival instead of just being pure victims.
And you talk about the gun being the great equalizer.
Yes. If you really think about that, you know, a bad guy doesn't even have to have a weapon. You know, I'm a little lady. All it would take is a 250-pound man with his bare hands to overtake me. Yes, it is an equalizer.
I mean, you think of men carrying guns, but you think it's more important for women.
Absolutely, and especially a woman that may have a stalker.
Mark, what happened to you?
In 2002, my daughter was 2 weeks old. I was on my way to work, and I found myself the intended victim of a apparent carjacking attempt at about 6:30 in the morning. I had a lawfully carried Glock sidearm. I unlatched my seatbelt, drew my weapon, and stopped the attack or the impending attack against me.
Just by showing the gun?
Just by showing the gun. Just by showing the gun.
And we don't know how often that happens because that doesn't get reported.
No, we do, actually. There are estimates. The Department of Justice is at about 800,000 is the lowest I've seen. The Gary Kleck has done studies that show approximately up to 2.5 million times. So I became one of those statistics.
The founders had just fought the American Revolution. They'd seen friends and family members die in the struggle to...
All right, Mike, do me a favor. Post that entire thing in our video section, folks, and please go to this and pass it on to your friends. Visit our website. We post the salient stuff, the counter-argument to the propaganda. This is a perfect piece. There is more to this. And Stossel, when he had free reign, what was that, back in 2017, was it? Seriously. Well, John Stossel doesn't get to do that stuff anymore, does he? At any rate, we'll post the entire thing. These are the arguments, and these are the true facts and figures. I mean, the guy just said that, you know, it could be up minimally 800, stopping people, armed, good citizens. 99.9% of the gun owners in this country, they're not criminals. They're everyday people that just want to live happy little lives. They want to be left the hell alone. That minimally, Mike, can you grab that, please? Okay. That minimally 800,000 crimes are stopped by gun owners and could be as high as 2.5 million a year in this country. Let me take Harley in Indiana.
John.
Harley.
Yes, if we have time, I would like to read for you a short statement from the report of the debates and proceedings of the Convention for the Revision of the Constitution of the State of Indiana, 1850, published in 1850.
Okay.
The chair recognizes a gentleman named Mr. Chapman. I do not wish to make a speech, but I desire to refer to an authority upon the democracy or the anti-democracy involved in the question of the public debt. I wish to quote an extract from the writings of Thomas Jefferson of about 20 lines only. Several voices said, read it. Mr. Chapman, it is as follows, quote, to preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our selection between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude. We run into such debts as that. We must be taxed in our meat and in our drink, in our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements. For our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are, our people, like them, must come to labor 16 hours in 24, give the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses, and the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread, we must live as they, referring to England, now do. On oatmeal and potatoes, have no time to think, no means of calling the mismanagers into account, but be glad to obtain subsistence by hiring ourselves to rivet their chains on the necks of our fellow sufferers, our landholders, too, like theirs, retaining, indeed, title and stewardship of estates called theirs, but held reality and trust for the treasure, must wander like theirs in foreign countries and be contenders like theirs in foreign countries. I'm sorry, okay. In foreign countries.
Harley, one second before I run out of time here today. Jim in New York donated $400. Who is that? Okay, Randy did 100, so that's 500 that matched the guy's donation yesterday. And he said, if he can pull in 1,000, if I can get matching funds on 1,000, he will add in addition to his yesterday's $500 donation another $500. So that's halfway to the goal of the remaining balance on just this cycle, folks. But this will keep us alive for a while, keep us breathing. So call us here at 800-724-2719, extension 3. I know this is a little delayed, and you're receiving this because it goes over the Internet. Probably that's how you're listening. But call that number. Let me know before the program end today that we met that goal, and I'll be able to at least sleep tonight. And last night I only spent about 3 hours doing that. At any rate, five-hour energy saved the day for me again. Harley, go ahead. How much more do you have on that?
About 2 inches.
Oh God.
Pray tell that.
We don't have time. We got about 1 minute.
Okay, John.
Yeah. But I understand the point. He was making the point of, you know, it's the shackling of the debt. It's the...
Yeah, this deals with the established state banks in the state of Indiana.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And God blessed me and gave me this book yesterday. I received it from a man, and you know, just out of the clear blue sky. 2,000 pages.
Who wrote the book, and what's the title of it?
It is Report of the Debates and Proceedings of the Convention for the Revision of the Constitution of the State of Indiana, 1850, Volume 1 and 2.
Wow.
H. Fowler, official reporter to the convention, A.E. Brown, printer to the convention.
Okay.
Indianapolis, 1850, and it is reprinted by the Indiana Historical Collections reprint.
And look,
approximately 33-35.
Okay. And look what happened just 11 years later. We had that little war between the states that flipped this country.
John, I just flipped through the book after I got it yesterday. I took it into a public place and read, flipping through it so I get questions.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Well, I'll tell you.
But anyway, so many things I spotted in there in both volumes here and there just blew my mind.
I'll tell you what. Anybody that wants to argue with me about the original 13th Amendment, I have the original, one of the original remaining pocket constitutions that was printed in 1860. That spells out what the original 13th Amendment really was. Harley, I thank you for your call. I'm sorry you didn't call in earlier.
I sent those to you, John.
Okay, I will take a look at them.
Okay.
In history past, it might be our salvation for the future, folks. That is, if people understand our true history, they'll be able to figure out what's going on now and make the certain corrections to put the ship of state to rights. I want to thank you all for being here today. I'm waiting for that phone call from you. I'll stick around until I get it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.